Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast, and welcome to part two of my interview with Stephanie Lambert. She is the executive director of the Texas Homeschool Coalition, THSC, and she is a homeschool alumni, and it's so much fun getting to talk to her and just knowing that, you know what, the things that we're doing with our kids are going to turn out great. Not that every homeschool alumni has turned out great. You know, I've known some who have gone completely off the rails. Their parents have done everything they could to train them up in the ways of the Lord, and they have, for whatever reason, rejected it. But I would say, from the people that I know, for the most part, the parents who are very intentional about raising up their kids to love the Lord and to serve Him, and spent their days and their years homeschooling them, and being intentional about that, for the most part, those kids have turned out to be just amazing adults. And so I see that in you, Stephanie. I've so enjoyed getting to know you and your heart, and just seeing the work that you're doing for the Lord, because you really are doing kingdom work. And it's very, very exciting to see that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about your kingdom work and what you're doing in a minute. But I want to talk a little bit more about you having grown up being homeschooled. You did talk a little bit about your relationship with your siblings, and that is something that, man, I think every homeschool parent, unless you have an only child, deals with. And that can be a really difficult thing. Was there a way that your parents were able to really foster a deep relationship between you and your siblings? Because you said, and I appreciate you saying, you know, you guys did fight with each other, and you know, so you weren't the perfect siblings, always, you know, rubbing each other's backs and giving each other foot massages and serving each other tea and cookies all day long. You had a real relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. But now as adults, you are all very close to one another. And I love that. And I desperately want that for my girls. You know, first, I want them to love Jesus. But next to that, I want them to love each other and to love their families well. How did your parents foster that with you and your siblings?
So as an adult, I've been through experiences where I went to like a 3-week discipleship program. And at the end of that discipleship program, like, you feel bonded to the people that you were there with because you had a common significant experience together. And I think to start with, homeschooling is a common significant experience. Like, you are in it together. You've got the same parents. You've got the same, you know, Thursdays were our least favorite day because that was house cleaning day. Fridays were our favorite day because my mom would reward us with roller skating, and we were like, you know, roller skating was our thing. I mean, this sounds dated maybe, but anyway, so we had those just little things that we all had in common. So I think number one, just the experience of doing that is bonding in and of itself. Mm. I mentioned that my parents ran a homeschool organization. They were involved in community things. So we did projects together. We traveled with my parents. We would man their booths. We have good memories from that. We had friends all over the state as we did that. And you don't have to have a state, or you don't have to have an organization to do that, right? It was just an experience and a project that we all worked on together. And my parents were always very involved politically. They believed that, you know, we should use this opportunity that we have to make a difference. So we had dinner together. We talked about politics to the dismay of some of our extended family at the dinner table, you know, and we engaged in those things, and we were interested in what my dad was interested in, and we learned about it, and we We participated in like campaigns, and locally we would go door to door. Like, we all have memories of, you know, stuffing, you know, papers and flyers and then going door to door. And these are just experiences that we had together that just, that made us bond, you know, that they gave us an opportunity to build relationship around those things.
Yeah, I love that. How did they deal with sibling rivalry?
I do remember that. We were all fairly close in age. I have a twin brother and then an older brother and older sister, and we're all in 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know if I could tell you a specific way besides just sloshing through it. I remember my older brother, I remember when he would be allowed to watch us at home, you know, he was old enough that he could watch us. And then, you know, they had to just come up with a system where, you know, he had to tell them if we were, you know, had been bad while they were gone. And then there was fighting between he and my older sister. And I just kind of remember just working through it, just mm-hmm. a lot of working through it, even as teenagers, just a lot of communicating.
Yeah.
And that's something my parents were big on, is like, not pushing stuff under the rug. You know, we are going to fight it out if we have to fight it out. We're going to talk through it. We're going to deal with it. And then I remember actually, like, my mom teaching us one of our like school verses in school one day was, do not let the sun go down on your uh-huh. anger. And so I remember taking chalk and like chalk drawing a sunset on a piece of paper. And that was our reminder, you know, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And so I think something I love about my family is that we're not perfect. We do fight. We do have our rough edges, but we deal with stuff and we get it out there and we don't let it take root, you know, in our hearts, and we move on. And I think that my mom really used homeschooling as a platform to teach us that.
Yeah. It's such a benefit to adults, because as you move into adulthood, if you have learned to navigate through relationships with your siblings and through trials with them, you can learn to navigate through trials and relationships with anybody, whether it's coworkers or your spouse or your children or in-laws, anyone who's in your life, because you're going to always have people in your life who are difficult at times. And I just think there's so much benefit in teaching our kids to get along with each other. And it's not easy. It takes so much work. It's easier to just be like, you know, you go to that room, you go to that room, don't talk to each other until tomorrow, you know, like that would be the easy thing to do. And I often want to do that. But there definitely is something to be said about just teaching our kids how to work it out, because that really does benefit them moving into adulthood. So I love
that. And that's not pretty. It's not pretty, like, it's, there's not a formula, you know, it's a matter of work through it and be an example, you know. Yeah. Like I remember my mom, she would apologize to us, you know, sure. I'm sorry. And she taught us how to apologize. You say, I'm sorry. And you say what's for, and you ask for forgiveness, and just walking us through it and then modeling it.
Yep. Yep. Yes. Oh, modeling it is tough. Cause you know, we're sinful human beings too, and we're prideful and we want to have our way and we don't want to be wrong. And so, yeah, sometimes it is hard to admit when we're wrong about things.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.
Every December, Christians are given new reasons to not take Christmas seriously. We're told that Christmas was originally a pagan holiday, that Jesus was not born on December 25th, and that Christmas has been snowed under by hedonistic commercialism. While the enemies of the church are all too happy to have Christians believe such nonsense, Joshua Gibbs' new book titled The 25th, New and Selected Christmas Essays, argues that Christians have every reason to robustly celebrate Christmas with the confidence that they are participating in one of the oldest, deepest, and greatest mysteries of God. Claim your copy of this new book by the Searcy Institute, titled The 25th New and Selected Christmas Essays, from Amazon.com or CearcyInstitute.com/books. That's CearcyInstitute.com/books. We are back with Stephanie Lambert from THSC and talking about all things homeschool. We were just talking about sibling relationships. I want to kind of move on to a different topic. When you homeschooling was a certain way when you were growing up. It has changed in the last 15 years pretty drastically. And now in the last 8 months, we have seen a really, really drastic change in home education. I know you guys are seeing it because tons of parents are pulling their kids out of school and saying, okay, we don't know what we're going to do. We're going to homeschool them, we guess, reluctantly. What do you see homeschooling look like in the future? Where do you see it going?
Well, I think that we've seen homeschooling increase hugely this year as people didn't have an option and they needed an alternative. But I think that as people did have this alternative, they realized how much more doable it is than they would have imagined. And I think, sadly, because a lot of our schools, our public schools, are really suffering and families are feeling like they're not meeting the needs of their kids well enough, I really think that we could very likely see this become much more mainstream. One report shows that, like, in the last year, homeschooling has doubled. So it was, 3% before.
Right.
And it's somewhere between 6 and 10% now or something like that of all kids, you know, in the U.S. So I think we could see homeschooling become much more of a mainstream form of education because studies are showing that it works, because studies show that homeschool students generally outperform their public school peers by 15 to 30 percentile points. And it shows that they tend to be more involved in their communities and they tend to vote and they tend to, you know, go to college and they tend to be more likely to succeed at college. So as that information becomes available, it's less of a huge step for parents. You know, to my parents, they didn't know how we were going to turn out. And I remember Pam Tebow says this about Tim Tebow too. They didn't know if they were going to be able to get their kids into college and they didn't know how that was going to work, but they just took a step of faith because they believed it would.
Yeah.
So now parents have to take that step of faith, but there's a little bit more research and it's not as much of an unknown quantity.
Right.
So as we see the schools having a more difficult time, and it's going to be even more so after the coronavirus, the public schools are struggling. I think we're going to see more and more people see homeschooling as a really realistic option.
Yeah, I think so too. Really quickly though, talk to the parent who is looking at this going, okay, that's great. I see those numbers. I see that homeschool kids do really well. I see all the benefits of it, but I am not equipped enough to teach my kids. I'm not patient enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not organized enough. I'm not a teacher. How can you encourage that mom or dad who wants to homeschool, but they just feel like, I can't do it. It's not for me.
I would say that you are their parent and you love them more than anyone else does. And you want them to succeed more than anyone else does. Mm-hmm. And I would say so much of it is about learning along with them.
Yep.
You know, they have a show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, for a reason. It's because everybody forgets so much of their education, right? So, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, you don't have to write the curriculum. You have to share that curriculum with them and you have to provide that structure. And you can even, there are so many opportunities now when it gets to the older grades and you don't feel confident doing chemistry or whatever it is, there are so many online options. There are so many ways to outsource that. So you can do dual credit. You can, like, so many people are actually starting to take college classes during their high school classes. They're actually finishing their high school years with a bachelor's degree or an associate's, and the parents are really just facilitating all of that as they get older, and they're making sure that they have access to those different classes and that kind of thing. So a good friend of mine was actually in that exact position. Her husband really wanted her to homeschool. She was like, she just didn't know that she could, and she didn't want to fail her kids. And I remember as a kid, people always coming up to me and asking me questions because they were scared they were going to fail their kids. It feels like that's a very common concern that people have. And just recently, my friend has, we did a website called coronavirushomeschooling.com, and we basically just put up, and it's still up there and it's actually free now, where parents could just go, they could sign in for free and they get these lesson plans. And then we have somebody that tells them, okay, here's what you do. And I think through that, we were able to help parents realize, it's not hard, especially in these younger years. And it's, you know, you get to build up to it. You don't have to start necessarily in the high school years. Or right. if you are starting in the high school years, you've got a lot of support options where right. you can get, you know, work with other teachers and co-ops and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great answer. I love that. And it's true. No one loves our kids and knows them better than we do. And we learn along with them. I mean, I remember almost nothing from school. I mean, it's shocking how little I remember. I don't even know how I graduated. Sometimes I just shake my head. I'm like, how in the world? And I went to a Christian school. But I have learned with my kids. I love doing American history with my kids because I feel like I'm doing it for the first time. I know mm-hmm. I took it, but I don't remember anything from it, really. I mean, I remember some very basic things, but, you know, history and science, math, I let teaching textbooks teach them that. Mm-hmm. I don't worry about math. But it's so much fun to learn with my kids. And I just feel like I'm getting to regain my education all over again. And it's not about me, but Garrett told me, you know, years ago, he said, you only need to just stay one step ahead of them. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like you said, you know, when they're in first grade, you don't need to be ready to teach calculus.
Right.
And it's such a relief. Now, if you have a homeschool high schooler, then there are people who can help you through that. And we're so grateful for all of the resources that we have today to be able to help us along the journey of homeschooling. So, all right, let's move on to another thing, because I really want to talk about THSC. THSC is the Texas Homeschool Coalition. And we have, in the past, we've talked a little bit about state organizations and what you do, but it's been quite some time since we've done that. We have so many new listeners, and even for those who listen a lot, I want them to have this reminder of what you do. You know, I told you we went to that conference a couple weeks ago, and it was such an encouragement. I mean, I walked away from that conference so full of gratitude for all of the there were 150 leaders at this conference, but there are a whole lot more than just the people who were there. We're talking hundreds of parents and adults and leaders who many of them are volunteers. Some of them are paid, but it's not like they're, you know, getting rich and buying, you know, big boats and going on fancy vacations. I mean, for the most part, this is a ministry to homeschool families in each of these states. And so most states have a Christian state homeschool organization. Stephanie, you are the executive director for THSC. I would love for you to talk about state organizations kind of as a whole, why you exist, and what you do to serve the homeschool community.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. When you are at that conference of state homeschool organizations, which is where we were, you know the heart there. And the heart is to support the homeschool community and to support the families who are in the trenches and the boots on the ground. So we believe, and I do what I do for this organization because I believe it is kingdom work. Mm-hmm. And we believe that that God gave children to parents, and that homeschooling is a great tool for discipling children. And so we believe that that homeschooling as a movement will benefit and impact the kingdom of God as parents just pour into and disciple their children and have so many more hours a day to do that. So at THSC, our goals would be to empower parents to raise and educate their own children. And then we have a tagline, which is keeping Texas families free. So we put on conferences so that we can bring people together, because if you think about it, if you're going to put your kid in public school and you have a question about it, you call the administration, you call the school district or whatever it is. Who do you call if you're trying to learn about homeschooling? Who do you call if you have trouble getting your driver's license because they require a verification of enrollment form, mm-hmm. you know? And so state homeschool organizations are really vital for just the life of the homeschool movement. For many of them, put on conferences, do field trips, travel, different things like that, just for keeping the community together. We do face opposition as a community. Some people disagree with it. Some people don't understand. And it's really important for us as individual families and for us as a community to to bind, to come together, you know, we're stronger together. So it's important for the socialization element for us to be together. And mm-hmm. so we have those conferences and we have those events and that sort of thing. Another thing that's really important is just because laws are good toward homeschooling doesn't mean that people follow laws. And sometimes if you have a law on the books that there's no one to enforce it, people, you know, we see homeschool families face discrimination in things like getting your driver's license or college admission, where the college is saying, well, you don't have a public school transcript, so we're going to say you have to score higher and all these things. So we've gone in, and this is kind of the thing that state organizations, a purpose that they serve is advocating for the homeschool community. And so we work with the legislature. We've gone to the Texas legislature two different times to address the issue of college admissions, because people want to know, that's one of their main concerns when they start homeschooling their preschooler is my kid going to be prepared to go to college? So we've gone in to the state and, you know, advocated on behalf of homeschoolers to be able to get them into school. And then we've, you know, through the pandemic, we've contacted all of the public school districts and reminded them, like, this is the law for how people choose to withdraw from public school and homeschool, because they don't have it happen all the time. It's really not that big of a percentage of people. So they need to be reminded. So we serve a support purpose and we serve an advocacy purpose. And both of those are really important.
Yeah. And then you do your conferences, and you have two in Texas, right?
Yes. We have one in the Woodlands north of Houston and one in Allen north of Dallas. So those are big events where thousands of people come together and you get inspired and you remember why you're doing it, because let's be honest, it is hard. I know it is. I know my mom sacrificed a lot to do that with us. And I see my siblings sacrificing to do that with their kids, but it's worth it. And you have to remember the why. And that's one of the things we try to do too, is just provide encouragement to people, because it's not easy, but it's worth it.
So since you're kind of behind the scenes when it comes to homeschool conferences, what is it that you offer to parents? Why should they go? If I'm a brand new homeschool mom or dad, and I've heard about these homeschool conferences, I've said this on the podcast before, I remember when I first started homeschooling and my friend Jody invited us to go to a homeschool conference, and I was like, you guys have a conference for that? Like, that's weird. Like, a whole bunch of homeschool people getting together. I mean, what do you do? And I just had no idea. So kind of walk us through very briefly what a homeschool conference would look like.
Okay. So a homeschool conference is usually made up of at least a vendor hall. So you can actually go in and you can look through the books. I mean, we're all used to getting on Amazon or whatever, but you can actually look through the books. You can talk to people who are professionals and know about that curriculum, and you can get a really great curriculum buying experience in the vendor hall. And then there are also speakers. So speakers will be brought in to speak on practical things like how do you teach math, or what about special needs situations, or things like that, specialty things, but then also vision. And I would say a big part of it is that it's like, you know, brushing up on, you know, skills or whatever it is that are, that you need for your family, but also like remembering why you do what you do. And so many of our surveys afterwards, people will tell us like, I was ready to quit, you know, before I came, but I came to this and I remembered why I do it. And even just like, you've probably experienced this, just you'll get that one little nugget that's mm-hmm. just what you needed to hear for your family. But it's a matter too of just being together, like being a part of the movement and realizing what we're doing, like day to day, getting up and, you know, reminding people to brush their hair and making sure everybody gets fed and then getting all the school, and that day to day, what seems so mundane is actually really important. And I think when you get together with a whole bunch of other people and you hear people remind you of the vision, you're inspired to keep going. You get this shot in the arm that you need.
Yeah. I never get tired of going to homeschool conventions, and they can be exhausting when you're there, but there is so much encouragement and just the energy that's there. But you talked about being part of a movement. And I think one of the things that we've seen over the past 8 months is everybody, it's part of our human nature. We all want to be part of something, something big. It's why there's rioting in the streets. Everyone wants to feel like they have some kind of a purpose and like they're part of something bigger than themselves and bigger than the walls of their family and their home. Mm-hmm. And when you can bring your family into that, and as a family be part of a movement, it's so exciting. And it really is. You know, the tagline on Schoolhouse Rocked is homeschool. I was going to say homeschool rocked. It is not homeschool rocked. Schoolhouse Rocked, the homeschool revolution. And at the end of the movie, it says in big letters, join the revolution. And it's because people want to be part of something. And being a homeschooler, it is part of a movement. I mean, your family, Stephanie, has been part of this movement for many, many years and has had such a great impact in God's kingdom in the homeschool world. And the purpose is not just homeschooling. It's not just teaching our kids academics, but it's leading them to Christ and to the cross. And so it's so exciting what you're doing. We've talked about this before on the Schoolhouse Rocked website. You can go to schoolhouserocked.com, and on the front page you can see homeschooling in your state. Go to that link, and then you can just look for it. It'll take you to either Homeschool Freedom. I think the link is actually I think it says find your state organization, something like that. And you can find your own individual state organization. If you're in Texas, of course, THSC is, they're the people for you. But look and see who your state organization is, and then get involved in that organization. See how you can help. And if nothing else, become a member and pray for them. Like, those are the two least things you can do to be part of that, because those people are really there advocating for you. We have more that I want to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about is, as a state leader, I want you to give kind of 5 points. We just did a podcast about this, but I want you to give 5 points on getting started homeschooling. And because I want to hear it from you as a state leader of the largest state organization in the country. If someone were to call you up and say, all right, Stephanie, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take this leap of faith, what are the first 5 things I need to do? What are the most important things? I want to talk about that. So we're going to come back again tomorrow, finish this discussion, talk about those things. Stephanie, thank you so much for your time today. You're an absolute joy and blessing. I'm so glad that the Lord has introduced us to one another, and I look forward to continuing on our conversation tomorrow.
Ditto. It's been fun.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program. Parents seeking alternatives to traditional education find Classical Conversations gives their children the best possible opportunities to succeed in grade school, middle school, high school, and beyond, to prepare them for a lifetime of success, no matter what their goals for the future. So if you're considering homeschooling and you don't know where to start, or if you're already homeschooling and you want to explore another option, we've been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence. And we'd love nothing more than for you and your family to join us in our mission to know God and make Him known. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and to learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.